Well, Done With Debt is a consumer advocate firm specializing in debt relief strategies. I have asked Michael Pearson to join me to share his strategies and advice for people that want to end their debt permanently. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So talk to us about credit card and loan interest rates have skyrocketed. How does this affect most Americans? Because we're all dealing with this.
Well, that's a great question. It's tough because it affects all Americans here. One thing that we always notice is that we can't control the interest rate. So your debt keeps building faster and faster. It's getting bigger and bigger. And what was once a manageable situation is now unmanageable. And with inflation going crazy, with just groceries, gasoline, rents, all the basic necessities, at some point something has to break and you realize that you're not going to get out of this debt maybe in years, sometimes decades. So it's tough.
Yeah. So a lot of people look to either get a loan or declare bankruptcy, but that can actually make it worse. I struggle with insomnia, Michael. I don't know if you do, because I know a lot of people, you go to bed waking thinking about your debt, you wake up thinking about it, or whatever your problems are. What's your advice for someone struggling with debt in general?
Go to donewithdebt.com, answer 3 to 4 questions, get in contact with us before you even make your next payment to that credit card. Before you call the creditors yourself, give us a call. There is hope. We will help you. Simply go to donewithdebt.com, fill out a couple questions. We'll have one of our experts call you right away. It's free at no cost to you. We don't charge anything until we start settling your debts. So what do you have to lose?
There you go. Easy peasy. That's a complex financial term that I hope you understand. Go to donewithdebt.com. That is donewithdebt.com. Michael, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yeah, happy hour, man. You know, Travis, sex sells. Let me just tell you, I'm not about subtle whoring, much like that song. I'm not about the subtle whoring. And what's that song?
You've proven that.
What? I've never been to me. Okay, here's my point. Frank Flaguzzi, hot, fucking hot, handsome, ex-G-man. Jen Kirkman, one of the many Jens I have a crush. Everyone has a crush on Jen Kirkman. Comedian extraordinaire.
Yeah.
I'm in love with everyone named Jennifer. We came to that conclusion this week. Think about it. Who's not? Jennifer Aniston. Who's not hot? That's Jennifer. J-Lo. Jennifer Connelly. Who else do we miss? Jennifer Beals.
Jennifer Garner. We had a really awkward moment with Jennifer
Garner. Oh, Jennifer Garner. Just go watch the scene from Alias. Oh, my God. In the negligee. Okay.
Have I told you I know people from the gym who were her landlord when she first moved here?
Oh,
you're
no.
1 degree. And they're fans of this show.
Oh, no.
So you're like literally one degree away from her.
Okay. I am literally whoring out Jen Kirkman for this happy hour. Because she's hot. She's another hot Jen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Frank Flaguzzi, I'm just saying, right? That would be an FBI knock on the door I'd like. Mm-hmm. Wow. Like a porn. Just like FBI. Oh, sure you are.
Here for a search.
Waka, 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 waka. Oh, hi, G-man. You here to find my G-spot? You doing a search? Okay. I don't think he would have to search far for the G-spot. That G-man is all I'm saying.
Stephanie.
What? Okay, my point is, he told us a lot. There's a lot of great stuff going on with the FBI, and he clued us in on the whole deal. And Jen Kirkman is just hilarious.
She's
and
a
hot. And hot. Enjoy this big, frothy, sexy, happy hour confection. Drink up! Oh, it's fun for our friend is here. Look, here she comes. Oh, now you're here.
Jen Kirkman's on with Steph now. I need her here online. Trump, he likes to bitch and
Hawaiian.
Put that drum player back in.
In studio. Yay! Here she is.
What a monumental moment.
It's so exciting.
I should mention I have a little bit of COVID. But
okay.
We should
all right.
be good.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
thank
we should
you.
Be good because I drank some bleach this morning. I didn't good. Drink it. I
thank
mouthwashed.
You.
Yeah,
thank
yeah,
you for so. Self-disclosing.
Yep.
See, this honor system is working fine, Travis.
It's working great.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
oh
yeah,
my,
yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Just kidding. Okay.
Mask
I don't
up.
Know. Now, I don't know if I set the bar too high, but I saw you at Jody Hamilton's hugging party. Mm-hmm. On Saturday, and we pre-worked out some material, which we never do. We don't usually rehearse for your appearances.
No, and you know, we weren't even trying to. We were just being so naturally funny at a
yes.
party.
Yes,
that
well,
you said we could do this on air.
I was happy as a lipstick lesbian because I was with my friend Rob, and I was mistaken for his wife and a mom.
And I was insulted for you.
Because two parties in a row, people thought Rob was
when
my
you,
husband.
When you think someone's a mom and they don't have a child anywhere near them... Or any kind
you
of like...
You said, I thought you just looked tired.
Yeah. oh, said, that's like saying, you look horrible and like you haven't slept in a long time and are under a lot of financial stress. That's what you look like.
Are you... You look exhausted. Are you a mother? do you have someone that's embarrassed to be seen with you and that's making you go broke? Oh, you must be a mother. Okay. Here's what we were saying. Because you were talking about... You famously talked about this in your book, not having kids, and you're happy about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was saying, you know, at first I just didn't want kids and didn't have an opinion either way.
Yeah.
And then as I get older,
right,
I realize that was a great choice and I'm very happy to not have to
yes.
have kids. And I was saying that during the pandemic, nobody really mentioned to me their usual, you know, having a kid is really the best thing you could do with your life. I noticed that didn't get said during the year of homeschooling.
No, exactly. You remember our friend Matt Miller? So
oh,
we started
oh, yeah.
out with all these creative home parenting ideas and then like literally a week later, we're like, take this box of crackers and this iPad and go in the basement and don't come back till dinner.
But Stephanie said, you said that, you know, when you spend 5 minutes with a kid and your friend's kid and it's really fun.
Right.
If you get confused by that and think you want a kid, you said it would be like.
It's like a comic with a really good 5 minutes and then you go on the road with them and you have to hear, you know, like 45 every day. You're like, that was somebody, that kid had like a good five, but.
I made a mistake taking them on the road. And now I have to love them unconditionally.
Because they are adorable for maybe three to 5 minutes. They're like, you know what they are, Jen? They're like YouTube sensations as versus real comics. You're like, oh, wow, that got so many hits. Let's go on the road. And then they have to do an hour.
No,
that's what having
do.
Kids full time is like.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, you know, the rest of your stuff is really kind of mushy. Kind of just concepts, a little weak, not really any punchlines.
I like the part where you blow me kisses. I don't like the part where you poop your pants.
Don't like the part
that's,
where you
I'm
talk.
Talking about the comic.
I don't like, you know, way too long a setup. The setup is like 25 minutes. It's too long for a setup. There's not even a... Okay, so that was... Travis, wasn't that good? It's a kid. Kids are bad
solid.
Comics with a maybe five. And then you got to go on tour with them for the rest of your life. It's not even like an hour set, a headliner set. It's like a 24/7 set.
And you have
you're
to
like,
sit on
oh.
the plane with them.
God, this was not funny like several hours ago.
I know people are laughing in their cars, even though we
sure.
can't hear the laughter. We
yes.
feel it.
Yes.
You planned all this ahead of time?
Oh, shut
okay,
up,
listen,
you know what?
Plan
listen,
it.
Listen, mister.
Stephanie was very, very high. I'm kidding. She wasn't. I just like to say horrible things. Not that that's horrible, but it would be if you weren't high, would you? Weren't.
No, I was not.
That's
I was,
your natural state.
I hadn't been out in a while. You could tell I put vegetarian chili in a piece of celery. And I'm like, look at this. I stuffed celery. No one does that. Look what I just made. I was just, that's how exciting. Just being out of the house. I was like, look what I've done. I've made a new hors d'oeuvre.
You should not be allowed out free range.
Yeah, it was exciting. I say the same thing every time I hug Jen Kirkman. Kirkman, how fluid are you feeling today? The answer is always not very, but I can always, it's like a temperature.
It's a
temperature check.
I've been
to
a lot of lesbian conversion parties, I feel like, lately. Just a lot of parties being invited to, where they're like, look.
Yes, you talked, you're talking about on your new podcast, No Fun, the
yes.
No Fun podcast, about lying to a comedy legend, which happened
at
my house.
I gaslit Lily Tomlin to her face. I didn't mean
oh,
to.
Oh, Sean, get the theme ready. Uh-huh. Okay.
There's
we talked
a gaslighting
about,
theme?
No, we talked about, this was like a Curb Your Enthusiasm
oh,
scene
yeah.
at my party.
Well, you live on a street that has, it's small. You can't,
right.
like, two cars can't really pass each other. And I had done a U-turn so I could park. And I saw another car approaching as I was parking. And they were going very slow. And they looked at me. And I looked at them. And we made eye contact. And it was Lily. Now,
yes.
she doesn't know who I am.
Right.
I also had a patch
you had
on
an
my
eye.
Eye
patch on.
Yeah, because I had a black
which
eye.
Which makes you somewhat identifiable. Uh-huh.
And then I parked my car, and then she parked hers, and I didn't want to walk in with her because she doesn't know me.
Right.
I wanted to give her privacy, so I ran into your house. And then once in your house, I didn't have the eye patch on anymore because you all made me take it off. Suddenly, a bunch of lesbians had fashion tips for me. And Lily comes in, and she goes, did I see you outside? And we made eye contact. I went, no. She goes, we looked at each other in the eye. I go, I mean, I saw someone driving, didn't know it was... You, what... Just stared at me and went,
you lied to me. You lied to a comedy legend. She has a Mark Twain Award.
Yeah, I made a mistake.
As Paula Poundstone said to her, did Mark Twain give it to you?
That was funny.
We made a lot of old jokes. It was bad.
You know that Lily's
I shouted right in her
right
ear,
now.
Grandma, I'm going to turn the music down now, okay?
Well, here's in my defense, if Lily pulled up, I wasn't going to go knock on her window and go, hey, Lily, I know you're at the party because you're Lily Tomlin and I'm a big fan. And Steph texted me and told me you were coming. So if you want me to wait outside the car and walk you in, like, I just wanted to give her
yes.
space. It's not like she needed help.
So you thought it would make it better to lie to her face.
Yeah. I don't know why I couldn't have just said what I just said to you to her, but I just didn't want
to. I feel like I immediately have to invite you back to another party she's coming to so then we can play the Veep theme because I just feel like you'll do something to follow up.
I'll just make eye contact with her the whole time to let her know.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. Okay. What else is in the No Fun podcast? You talk about hiking in L.A. I hike every day. I won't hit on you. Do you want to hike?
Oh, no, I wasn't saying people hit on me. I was just saying if there's any murderers out there,
yeah.
they best not come for me because I hike with an air horn and a flashlight. Yeah, mainly for coyotes, but I think it could work on murderers. But I was saying that, you know.
So it's like same stuff you have for a hockey game. You just bring hiking.
Well, I don't know what a hockey game is.
Okay. It's a game that they play. I think aren't there air horns in sports?
You're
sports?
Asking the gay this?
I don't know. Sean?
Don't you have one in your sound effects box?
I don't. You
I can
do.
Make one.
Not in my box.
I actually have it with me if you want me to.
Oh, really?
To make the noise. I'll bring it out after the commercial.
I feel like it's a little startling. People might drive off the road.
Yeah, the dogs might.
Okay.
Penalty yeah, box.
It's the air raid siren. That's what we call it.
Okay.
Yeah.
The reason I was talking about hiking, I was talking about people, those signs all over the neighborhood that said, drive like your kids live here.
Oh, yes.
Well, what have you known of kids? I just commit vehicular manslaughter. I don't have kids, so
just
I guess
I don't care what I hit.
Yeah. So I just think it's insulting to people with and without kids.
There it is. Okay. Yep. That's not really an air horn, but it's close enough.
It's more like a nuclear air raid signal, and now I'm afraid that that wasn't a sound effect and that we need to get off the air right now. Is to take cover.
No, it's a sound effect.
Okay.
It's a sound effect. What is the cabbage versus lettuce debate on your show? What is that about?
Well, you know, sometimes I use Instacart and I get these teenage shoppers. So I do know what it's like to be a mom because I'm teaching the kids.
Right.
And I ordered iceberg lettuce and they brought me a cabbage instead because they don't know the difference. And you know, when you have your heart set on something, I had all the ingredients for a salad.
Oh, substitutions. Right.
Yeah. And I don't even think it was a substitution. I think they just grabbed the wrong thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And I opened it and I was like, no, I want an iceberg. I mean, it's not the Earth's greatest problem, but
I feel like, because I talked about this a lot, right, Travis, my soup, because I haven't been to the supermarket in like 2 years because now I get, but it was a transition period getting used to substitutions. Although I feel like it has better prepared me for post-COVID dating life. You'd be like, I wanted, this is fine.
This is not
what I want.
The
I ordered
that I saw, but okay.
Okay.
Well, it's funny because I worked in a grocery store in 1988, not to brag. Before there were ATM cards, people, I was making change in my head.
Whatever, Miss Paper or Plastic. Go ahead. Name dropper.
Did people write checks for you?
People would write checks, and I gladly accept them because I didn't know any different. But my point is I mistook a cabbage for an iceberg, and a woman schooled me, and I feel like I'm just passing it down. I got shamed in person. And these days, we don't even... this kid didn't even get to learn because he just dropped it off. And, you know, so I took to Facebook and said,
all right, I've gotten all controlling now. Like I now know in advance, I choose the only substitute this or don't substitute. Because at first it would be like I ordered an orange and you sent a hammer. It's not even close to
the, no.
Did they ever do that? I'm like, this isn't even anything close to what I
ordered lamb chops one time and they sent pork chops.
Well, that's at least in the genre.
And
saying I got totally different objects.
It's still a dead animal. Yeah, vegetarian.
Yeah.
Looking down on you.
See, this is probably why I'm single, because then I'm like, at first I was like, okay, fine, I'll be flexible, accept that substitution. Now I'm like, no, only this, or don't substitute at all.
Well, the mint sauce I made did not go with pork chops, let me tell you.
Okay.
But anyway, right. I don't mean to complain. I'm very lucky, and I always tip well and all
right.
that.
Okay, also, I just want to know what about Gen X, never drank water. Coffee's really good for your health, and your psychiatrist is retiring. Can you just summarize those?
Well, I was just saying that, you know, I carry around a 64-ounce bottle of water to go from room to room, and I have a feeling that maybe I don't need to be so hyper-focused on hydration, that maybe, like, the water bottle industry is screwed with our heads. And I read an article that said drinking coffee is really good for you, even 4 cups a day, caffeine
really?
Or decaf.
Oh.
And my psychiatrist is retiring, and on a Yelp review looking for a new one, the review that this man wrote about this doctor was, Dr. Judith is really great, and she's not a Nazi. And that intrigued me, and
right.
she's going to be the first one I call.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
And that seems like a low bar, not a Nazi, but maybe...
It's a low bar, but yeah. ultimately I think it's an important thing that we maybe, do know these days.
Did she do something that was maybe Nazi-ish? And this is just, no, she's not a Nazi.
Right. To ignore the swastika on her arm, that is a symbol of, you know...
Right.
The other thing I did start to worry about is... It might mean she's anti-vax because sometimes... So I might not actually go to her.
Okay.
But I was intrigued, I must say.
Okay. Well, I would be too. Yeah,
I would say there's a 1-star review for her that you need to look for that might explain the Nazi comment.
Yeah. Can I tell you... Did I ever told you the best psychiatrist story ever? Told to us by Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Oh, nice.
Yes. She got her recommendation for a therapist from her best friend, Pee Wee Herman.
Oh,
yes. And so she was in therapy and she was telling a very, you know, personal, like, vulnerable story. And the therapist was giggling. And she's like, is there something? And then Pee Wee popped out from behind the couch and went, ah! And that's, I was like,
are you serious?
Okay, that's unethical on a lot of levels, but she thought it would be funny to let Pee Wee listen. He was behind the therapist's couch. And
that's exactly what I would expect to happen. And I'm
right.
blown
if you take
away
it,
that it did.
Right. I always said, like, people that call Dr. Laura for therapy deserve therapy from Dr. Laura. So I'm just saying, Elvira, if you take therapy advice from Pee Wee Herman, that
I'm
going to
need this
you...
therapist number. I'm also intrigued.
Will Pee Wee Herman pop out behind the couch? Is he just always there waiting to pop out during a therapy
I couldn't love that story anymore. She just, okay. I don't even know what levels of unethical that is. But okay, let's move on. You also said you're seeing, I feel like everyone in LA is wearing more masks now than before the vaccine. We were saying that.
Yeah.
That I, like, when I've just walked down here to, you know, and so then I put mine on because I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I go in somewhere, I definitely wear a mask. But outside, I thought it's okay. But now
it's weird. Like,
yeah, it's weird.
When
right?
I go inside, I put it on in solidarity.
Yeah.
But yesterday I went outside. There was like a coffee shop that you walk by. There was a window shut.
Right.
And they said, put a mask on outside. And I wasn't like, I did it, of course. But
right.
everyone there was kind of like, this is weird. Like, it seems more now. And then you don't want to wear a mask because you feel like you look like an anti-vaxxer.
Yes. So you're afraid you look like a Republican.
But
you're
then
like,
people with immune compromised issues were mad at me on Twitter because
right.
they were like, what about us? And I was like, well, yes, but I wasn't really.
You know what the only answer is go to stephaniemiller.com. The Steph store has Vaccinated AF, Stephanie Miller Show. It has Vaxxed and Waxxed, Stephanie Miller Show. It has all of your Funky Cold Moderna.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the Pfizer, J&J,
oh, yeah,
one and done.
I'm going to get this girl's on Pfizer.
There you go.
Yeah, because I love that. And I want people to know if
yes,
I'm maskless,
exactly.
I'm vaxxed.
It's the only answer, stephaniemiller.com.
Or if I'm masked, I'm still vaxxed. I'm not a...
There you exactly. Okay, Chairman Adam Schiff yesterday.
The direct intervention by the president and the attorney general in specific criminal cases implicating the president, like that of Roger Stone, one of his aides whose sentence was reduced before he was pardoned, Mike Flynn, another presidential national security advisor whose case was made to completely go away. These are gross abuses of the independence of the Justice Department, and we don't know how far they run, and our new attorney general has to find out.
Yeah. What do you make of this whole thing, Jen? Because I'm trying to be patient, not my strong suit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Merrick Garland is, I think, a good man. But I'm like, we just can't, for precedent, allow this to stand because they're not really giving Democrats the information yet. Right, Travis, in terms of, we just can't let this stand, this precedent that you can use the DOJ like that. It's not payback or vindictiveness. It is restoring justice.
That's what I'm always concerned with. The Democrats are like, we'll just let it go. But here's the thing. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't want to be one of these people that's yelling and screaming. But I do think that I'm a little tired. This is just my personal, you know, we're having a drink opinion, not politically smart. But I'm a little tired of hearing about all these guys who are institutionalists You see where that got us with Mueller.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying don't obey the law, but I bet there's something in the middle between saying, well, if we do this, then someone's going to do it to us later. We literally, our democracy's on fire.
Right.
I'm not really concerned with if you do something now, someone could do it to Democrats later.
These aren't normal times. We can have normal remedies. Like, they, Trump blew up the Justice Department. So we have to, it's not just like, oh, we won't do that again. We have to get to the bottom of this. Democratic leadership is unhappy with the foot dragging from the Justice Department under Merrick Garland. So they're trying a new approach to get more information. The DOJ has not only been holding back investigative information about the Trump administration from House committees launching their own inquiries, but has been running interference for the former president. That has some Democrats frustrated. Obviously, the OLC memo, E. Jean Carroll, just wrong decisions. This week, Democrats made a new move toward opening the books in a key area where the Justice Department has been unduly secretive, the scandal involving them subpoenaing phone records of... Because, again, it's bipartisan. It's also Don McGahn. It's their own White House lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, you know, have that precedent? And now I think they're trying to say, oh, well, it was, they were just, you know, trying to, they, it was aides to these people, and those people got swept up. We need answers.
No,
it doesn't matter, you know.
Aides don't make decisions on their own. By the way, I wonder if Sally Yates would have been a better choice.
I understood exactly what you said.
Just wondering.
You were speaking Ixnay on the Ipsnay, and I heard what you were saying. Yep. Sally Yates might have been a better choice. Or perhaps Glenn Kirshner. Okay. Listen, you're from Boston, and I need to understand the term rats get bats, because...
I'm not from the mob, though.
Oh, you're not from Mob Boston?
No,
you're not from the Boston mob.
No.
Okay. Two Boston police officers are on investigation for the January 6th Capitol riot.
Uh-huh.
Including a social media post that appears to be threatening anyone who turns people in who participated in the event. He wrote, rats get bats, in response to a Facebook post from the FBI seeking information on Capitol rioters. I thought it was snitches get stitches. Is the Boston version rats get bats?
Boston always does things a little differently. I'm not surprised, but I've never heard of it.
Is it? I assume it's a baseball bat. Rats
that's
get bats.
What I'm assuming, or some
not
kind
like,
of police baton.
Bats.
No, not COVID bats, no. But... You would think they would use something that has like an R in it so they could really, right?
That's
you
a know? Better threat now. COVID bats. Rats get COVID bats. It's a better threat than a Boston Red Sox bat.
But they could be like, liars get fryers. Like something that sounds good in a Boston accent.
Exactly. Oh, Kevin McCarthy, before we go, this is very exciting.
Awkward.
He must be very excited about this, that Donald Trump wants to be Speaker of the House. So thank God that wasn't anything he wanted.
Would you be for President Trump becoming Speaker?
You know, I've talked to President Trump many times. He tells me he wants to be Speaker, and I think he should be President.
Yeah. So you don't want that.
No.
You don't want to be that. You don't want... I'm telling you,
plan.
he's gonna do that. If they win, he's going to throw Kevin McCarthy under the bus and be Speaker, and then he thinks they'll make him President, impeach Biden. Okay.
Bus is starting. DeSantis is going to be under it, too.
There you go. Lady G, was this Lady G at the conference?
Okay. The big lie.
Mm-hmm.
44,000 votes short, and we can argue about being cheated, and there was a lot of shenanigans, right?
No, this was actually a shenanigan-free election.
Mm-hmm.
Shenanigans. Is that what he calls?
If he really thought it was that serious, would he call it shenanigans?
I feel like he calls sex games shenanigans. I think on Grindr, he actually is like looking for shenanigans.
I think he's looking for he-nanigans.
Well, now we have to end the show with that.
Nailed it.
Because this is why she's a writer on the Emmy-winning Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which I can't wait to come back. Why her books are all fantastic. Her podcast, fantastic. Her stand-up is fantastic. Because she writes stuff like that on the fly. Jen Kirkman is too much fun. I just renamed your podcast.
Aw, thanks, Steph. I love being here.
Follow her on Twitter. Adore her like we do. We love you, Jen Kirkman.
I love my Stephanie Miller family.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
No, I never admitted defeat. We have a
A lot of things happening right now. I think that that was an election that was, I don't think, all you have to do is read the newspapers and see what's coming out now. No, I've never, the word is concede. I have not conceded.
Shut the f*** up, Donnie.
Okay, all right. Wow. Well, yeah, he seemed a little more...
Yeah.
What's the word? Drugged than
lethargic.
Usual?
Yeah.
Right, that's what I meant, lethargic. I'll ask the FBI guy whether you need to say alleged when your when your pupils are that dilated and your speech is that slurred here in the United States.
Good morning, Frank Fuglisi.
Frank Fuglisi.
Frank Fuglisi. Frank Fuglisi.
Former G-Man.
The FBI.
Frank Fuglisi joins us now.
In color.
Frank Fuglisi, the former FBI Assistant Director for Counterintelligence.
I need my favorite G-Man. She's got you all. Author of the bestseller, FBI Way, Inside the Bureau's Code of Excellence.
We're in the FBI and you're fought against crime.
Think of every FBI agent as handsome and fantastic as Frank Fuglisi.
Oh, hi, Frank Fuglisi. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. We just happened to be here while the jingle is playing. Fantastic.
In front of your beautiful Arizona backdrop where it's 1,001 degrees today. Good morning.
A cold front today, so just 1,000, not 1,001.
So you have apparently, you have activated Tucker Carlson's extra crazy. Talking about him doubling down on this latest, you know, it's the FBI behind January 6th. I mean... I take from your commentary on TV, Frank, and the piece that you wrote, I mean, maybe we should take this as good news that the FBI is obviously getting close and going up the food chain right on January 6th because they're freaking out. And that's a preemptive move, right, to go, oh, the FBI did it. So, of course, they're going to accuse us of doing it.
Yeah, as you're saying, I did provoke the wrath of the Fox News followers because I'm getting an unusually high number of very vile and profane threats, yeah, simply because I challenged the notion that the FBI orchestrated the insurrection. And for those of you who mercifully choose not to listen to the Fox News craziness, what happened was there was an article in a fringe magazine, I won't even mention it, online that said, oh, look at all the unindicted co-conspirators and all the indictments for January 6th. Those unindicted co-conspirators who were not named, those have to be undercover FBI agents who orchestrated the insurrection. Well, Tucker Carlson grabbed it, went out with it like it was fact. And, you know, for those wondering, well, is he stupid or is he deliberately deceiving the public? I say the answer is both. But however, all he had to do was get a legal dictionary or ask a lawyer friend, what does it mean when there's an unnamed unindicted co-conspirator? And he would have found out it doesn't mean there's undercover operatives in the indictment. It just means somebody is suspected of criminal wrongdoing and they're not yet chargeable, or after the fact they decided to cooperate with the prosecution, so we're not naming them to protect them. But of course, this is grabbed on. I wrote a column about it. I went on Brian Williams. I went on Nicole Walsh to simply explain what unindicted co-conspirator means.
Right.
And now here comes this barrage of ugliness and by the way, they see this as a self-fulfilling prophecy. Frank, the FBI guy, is going on to deny that the FBI orchestrated. It's all part of the deep state.
Right. Yeah, of course, because you're involved. Right. I mean, but this is, I always learn something from you, Frank, which is why we love you. But that unindicted co-conspirator to the normal ear, like, oh, yes, it's something, you know, weird. And as you're saying, that's a legal term that it actually, I think you were saying in one case, it was the defendant's wife. Like, unindicted co-conspirator can mean a lot of things, but okay.
Right.
Yeah. And you were saying it's Carlson, Louis Gohmert, Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene. You said it is not reused to refer to FBI agents or even government informants sent into the riot. Instead, it usually, you know, as you just said, refers to those suspected of being involved, but more evidence is needed, or as you already said, they're cooperating. So co-conspirators, for example, as you say, with suspect's wife in one case. But one FBI interview of a suspected participant in January 6th, Frank, you point out this could be where this started. He's a retired NYPD officer and former Marine, was asked whether he had any connection to any member of Congress or congressional staffer. That simple question provides us the answer as to why the far right has strategically shifted its blame game, because that infers their, right, I assume, moving up the food chain to what we know are connections between some members of Congress and these right-wing groups, right?
Well, precisely. If you're wondering, hey, how come, I thought the far right was saying Antifa pulled off the insurrection. Then I thought they were saying it was peaceful. Then I thought they were saying it was just another day of tourists. And now they're saying, no, never mind. It was the FBI who did it all. So why the shift? As I explain in the column, it's pretty transparent. We've now learned that the FBI, in at least one instance, interviewing one of the defendants in January 6th, asked the question, do you know anybody in Congress or any congressional staffers? And of course, you know, this is fairly obvious now that the FBI is asking these questions because they're looking for a root cause of instigation and aiding and abetting, and the right wing is flipping out. It's why we don't have an independent commission to get to the bottom.
Of course not. Yeah, I love that you tweeted, FBI asked January 6th suspect about ties to Congress and extremist groups. And I'm like, when an FBI guy says, what does that mean, Frank? It's nothing good ever comes after that, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, the FBI does not insert a question into an interview unless it has a reason to do so, right? And the reasons would be that the question is going to fulfill an intelligence collection requirement for the investigation, like, hey, where did this all start? Who aided and abetted this? Yeah. How far up can we go? Or they have reason to believe that this particular person does have a connection and they want him to respond so that they can show him later that, hey, you're lying to us.
Yeah. And more specifically, you know, you said they asked because members of Congress and prominent Republican members have been known to affiliate with right-wing militias. That includes Ted Cruz of Texas, Roger Stone's link to Oath Keepers, Proud Boys' affinity for Matt Gaetz, the Three Percenters' links with the likes of Stone and Paul Gosar of Arizona, Lauren Bobbitt of Colorado. So, as I was saying, Rick, we already know some of the names and but as you write, members of Congress may have become aware the FBI is pursuing the root cause of the January 6th riot. Yeah, it helps that Matt Gaetz is on the judiciary and gets to question the FBI while he's under FBI investigation. But anyway, to the extent you write that certain members of Congress or aides to Trump may be criminally exposed for any possible role they played in aiding and abetting violence, they would have every reason to begin attacking the investigators. Of course, the FBI will blame us. The agency is simply trying to deflect attention away from its own role in the riot. It's a tactic right out of the Trump playbook. I mean, didn't Tucker Carlson talk about, it happened in the Gretchen Whitmer? I'm like, to the extent the FBI stopped it, right? Like somebody got cold feet and told the FBI informant what was happening. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be astonished at anything Fox says or Tucker Carlson says, but how is the FBI involved doing what they've always done, infiltrating these groups and stopping crimes, right?
Right. The FBI would make themselves look like they failed miserably just so that they can stir up trouble on January 6th. That makes a whole lot of sense to me.
Right.
No, it doesn't. Look, we've reached an era. We're living in a time, Stephanie, where, you know, the old encouraging, assuring statement that, hey, just because you say something repeatedly doesn't make it true. Well, guess what? We flipped that on its head in today's age of social media, 24/7 news, infotainment, masquerading as journalism. Now, if you say something repeatedly enough, it does become someone's reality. And that is the strategy here. It's a strategy of deception, and it starts with Fox News or some other right-wing place, and then everyone picks it up and runs with it. And this FBI conspiracy theory will go for quite some time because they think the FBI is asking about them, and they are.
Yeah. And by the way, you said expect more craziness from Gaetz as the pressure mounts. As the Gaetz investigation ramps up, feds mount sweeping probe into Central Florida political scheme. I mean, that's what I'm trying to, I mean, I'm happy clappy, Frank, but I take this as good news that they may be getting close, not just in the Capitol riots, but Matt Gaetz, the reason they're flipping out about the FBI, right?
Yeah, it appears they have cooperators, at least two, his buddy and one of the young ladies. And here's the thing. I want people to kind of be patient, set their expectations. These are complicated cases. It's not straight up. There's a third party app here, right? Which is the Sugar Daddy app, allegedly, where he can have plausible deniability and say, well, I was paying for hotel or airfare, but not for the sex. It gets complicated, but I got to tell you what I'm far more fascinated in is the corruption case that developed out of this, which is that he was getting trips to the Caribbean. He was getting women in return for some quid pro quo for an official act. That is incredibly significant. It's complicated, But I think he's very, very much exposed to it.
Yep. Yay. Okay. Hold, please. You know, there's so much going on in the world that can make it difficult to relax and decompress. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You've experienced the Sunday scaries, that feeling of dread in the pit of your stomach that comes on Sunday afternoon. Now there is a totally different Sunday scary. Vitamin C boosted CBD gummies. What's not fun about that?
Mm-hmm.
Make a friend with a Wilma chaser. Okay, no, they're not Flintstones. They're just, okay, they're CBD gummies, but with vitamins. You don't even have to wait until Sunday night rolls around. Self-care, so important. Sunday Scaries is here to help. Sunday Scaries believes everyone deserves a hand on a difficult day. If you're looking for a way to decompress, Sunday Scaries has you covered with all their CBD products. Visit SundayScaries.com. Use that promo code SEXYLIBERAL, all one word, at checkout. You get 25% off your order. That's 25% off at SundayScaries.com. Promo code SEXYLIBERAL. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. These products are not for use or sale by persons under the age of 18. Sunday Scaries, boo! Let's talk about Chris Ray. So one thing that you always say on TV, Frank, that sticks with me is you say January 6th was not a failure of intelligence. It was a failure to act on the intelligence we already had. So the FBI director and other senior officials have consistently downplayed the intelligence value of social media posts by Trump supporters prior to January 6th. I'm reading from NBC, suggesting the Bureau had no actionable warning the Capitol would be targeted by a mob. But according to a document entered into court records last week, an FBI agent acknowledged in February investigative report that angry Trump supporters were talking openly in the days before the riot about bringing guns to the Capitol to start a revolution. A review of open source and social media posts leading up to and during the event indicates individuals participating in Stop the Steal were angered about the results, felt Joe Biden had unlawfully been declared president-elect. Users in multiple online groups and platforms discussed traveling to the Capitol armed or making plans to start a revolution. Obviously, a lot of Democrats are not satisfied with the answers they're getting from Chris Ray, right? Richard Blumenthal said, "What I don't understand is why this chatter and raw intelligence didn't prompt a stronger warning, an alarm going to the very top of the United States Congress, because clearly the United States Congress was under severe threat." Carolyn Maloney said FBI Director Ray admitted today he was unaware of the more than 50 tips from social media site Parler prior to the January 6th warning of violence. One user saying, "Don't be surprised if we take the Capitol building. This was a massive intelligence failure by the FBI, plain and simple." Frank, give us your take on all that.
Okay, there's a lot there. But the bottom line is, I have said it's not so much an intelligence failure as it is a failure to execute on available intelligence, because clearly the intelligence was there. So to the extent you define an intelligence failure as not having anything to act on, I say, no, they had tons to act on. They failed to act on it. I know it's parsing words, but with regard to this this recent filing by an FBI agent saying, hey, there was a lot of stuff beforehand, we don't know, and I have to assume, he's talking about after the fact. In other words, once the violence happened, by the way, this is extremely typical of the domestic terrorism handcuffs that are on law enforcement, is you have to wait for the violence to occur often before you can then retroactively go back and investigate. So what I sense is happening now, and I know it's happening now, is now that the act occurred, they're going back, they've got defendants, they're going back and getting warrants or searching for their activity online prior to the act, and they're going, wow, now we see this, and they're using it in the case to prosecute. So that's what's going on there. But far more importantly, Stephanie, it shows us we've got to change the rules of the road if we're gonna stop the next act of domestic terrorism. It can't be that you wait for the violence and then go back and are allowed to look at stuff. And I think that's why when Ray says he didn't know about Parler, he didn't know blah, 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 the lawyers have shut down any semblance of spying on Americans. And I get it, but we've got to figure out a better way to do this.
Yeah. I was going to just jump over all your experience and training and just say it's because they were, I don't have time for that. But it's because they were white domestic, white supremacist, domestic terrorist Trump supporters that they looked the other way. It doesn't take a genius to go like, you know, they obviously, there was a stand down order. There was some sort of, you know, it was the top that ordered the code red, as I always say. But okay, Frank, you have a podcast. This one sounds fascinating. Is this on your podcast? The top FBI scientist shares her advances in rapid DNA, the ability to match your DNA profile at a local police station in 2 hours or less. Is this a...
Yeah, here's the cool... Yeah, so the podcast, it's been out for about a month. It's doing extremely well because it's unprecedented. The FBI's never allowed an outsider to have access every single week to active duty FBI personnel. Yeah. There are a lot of podcasts out there that talk to retired folks, people like me. But this is active duty. So we've done behavioral profilers talking about serial killers. We've done a PhD scientist telling us that DNA is now down to less than 2 hours and it's happening at your local police station. They digitize your swab, boom, goes to Washington. While they're holding you legally, they find out you're the rapist, you're the murderer that's in the database. We did an episode on the FBI abroad. We're, this week, just out today, this week's episode is the head of the Behavioral Threat Assessment Center telling you how to know if your crazy uncle or that guy down the street is really going to act out violently. Oh. We do that every week.
That is fantastic. It is called The Bureau, right, with Frank Lugosi. And that sounds fantastic. We have links. We'll put links up.
It's already up.
At all, they are up at all our places. Frank, it's always a thrill when we get to talk to you. Thanks so much. And your fake Arizona background. Thanks so much.
Stay safe, everybody. Thanks for having me.
You also look like you couldn't possibly be that handsome. Like, everything looks fake there, but we love your expertise. Thank you, Frank.
Stay safe.
Thanks, Frank.
I always save a little time to hit on. Okay.